Welcome back to the Landscape Ontario podcast, the show where we explore the inspiring stories, innovative ideas, and diverse expertise of professionals in the landscape and horticulture trades. I'm your host, Karina Sinclair, and today we're taking a closer look at the niche sector of interior plantscaping. While a lot of landscapers like you might spend much of your time outdoors, many people, including your clients, friends, and family, they work indoors, surrounded by screens and cubicles and walls that could use a little life. That's where today's guest, Hella Keppo, comes in. Hella is the founder of Stems Interior Landscaping, a thriving business that brings lush tropical plants into workspaces throughout the Toronto area. Her mission? To help reconnect people with nature, even if it's within the walls of an office building. Hella's passion for plants started early, having grown up immersed in the countryside. She's turned that love into a career that not only beautifies indoor environments, but also delivers real benefits. Cleaner air, reduced stress, enhanced creativity, to name just a few. From moss art to blooming displays to impressive living walls, Hella and her team are transforming spaces and changing how people experience their interior work environments. Now, before we get into the conversation, I want to ask you, the listeners, if you have any feedback or ideas for future topics or guests, send me a message at podcast@landscapeontario.com. Your suggestions help me shape the podcast and bring you the stories that you'll care about the most. If you're attending the Landscape Ontario Congress Trade Show and Conference from January 7th to 9th, maybe we'll cross paths. And I hope you stop to say hello if you see me on the show floor walking around with my camera. Now, let's dive into the world of interior plantscaping with Hella Keppo as she shares her journey, insights, challenges, and skills needed to be successful in this niche sector. I'm so grateful that you've made time to join us on the show, Hella. Thanks for being here today, and I can't wait to help tell the story about what it's like to work in interior plantscaping, because that's such a unique niche part of the green trades.
Well, thanks so much for having me on your podcast, Karina. It's such a thrill to be here. I really appreciate it. Yeah, so I got into the interior landscape business, I guess. From a child, I've always loved plants. So instead of buying candy with my allowance money, I would buy plants at the grocery store. So my collection started, I'm assuming, with the same as most people, with begonias and a lot of African violets. And then I got a summer job at Cullen Country Barns in Scarborough, and I worked in the tropical plant department. So that really opened my eyes to the indoor plant, like the amount of variety that you could get. And by the time I was in high school, I had a grow light unit with over 50 species of plants and like hundreds in total. From there, I went on to University of Guelph, got a double major in horticulture and business, and that was also a co-op program, so I was able to dabble in all kinds of different areas of the horticulture industry. Then when I graduated, I was fortunate to get a job with Bruce Jensen Nurseries, and they did indoor landscaping. And so that's where I started my career with interior plants, and we looked after offices, malls, lobbies, and I quickly moved up in that company, and I was in the sales department. So after I left there, I worked for my grandfather, who had a small cheese import business. So we imported cheese from Europe and sold it to delis in Toronto. And that's where I learned how to run a small business, because I was in charge of everything from doing deliveries to hiring and some bookkeeping.
Oh my goodness, that's quite a journey. That exposure to business management, though, is probably one of those key elements that a lot of people are missing when they get into any job path that they're passionate about. But to run a business about that passion is totally different than actually doing the thing. So I think it's probably lucky that you had that early exposure. Even though it was a cheese company, you were able to apply it to what you really wanted to do.
That's right. So after I wound down that business, I was able to jump back into what my true passion was, and that was indoor plants. But you're right, like all those hats that you wear, that's transferable from business to business. But as you know, with my business, it's all about the plants and the passion that I have for them.
I imagine all about the plants, but also the people, like the clients and the people who help you run the company, and being able to manage that and foster the passion for plants within them as well. I mean, that's a big holistic aspect of having a business in plantscaping.
It's true. But a lot of the people that I hire are already passionate about plants. So that's not the hard part. Yeah, but looking after the people as well, that is another huge part of the job for sure.
So tell me a little bit more about what it's like to have an interior plantscaping business. What do you do? How do you find and foster those clients? And what does it mean to care for plants indoors?
I guess the main thing that we do is we install and then maintain indoor office plants. So it all starts with putting the right plant in the right spot, which sounds simple, but it takes a lot of years of trial and error and seeing what works and what doesn't in certain circumstances. So a lot of our clients will do an initial walkthrough and see, you know, with their floor plan in hand, and we'll figure out which plants to put where, and then we'll go back, do a proposal, send that off to them. And then once it's approved, then the real work begins and we get to deliver all these plants. And it's funny because when we do deliver the plants, people will literally come out of their office, go, "Oh, do I get one in my office too?" And people just get so excited when this cart of plants rolls by their door.
That's sort of like getting happy mail, you know, something that you can actually look forward to and then, you know, be like a little plant parent within the workspace. Now, unlike traditional outdoor landscapers, they're starting to get pulled into consultation a little bit earlier than they used to when a new building is constructed or a property is renovated. And they get to help make some decisions that, you know, don't put this tree here because of this reason. We should do this over here because, you know, to improve, you know, drainage. That's not often the case for an interior plantscaper, right? Like, have you ever had the chance to provide input of how the inside of a workplace might be redesigned or laid out so that you can improve the green space within?
Typically not really, especially in an office setting. Although a lot of the designers now are trying to pull in biophilic design. It's kind of a buzzword right now, but basically it involves like patterns and shapes and textures that are found out in nature, as well as obviously you want to use plants. But that also requires a lot of natural light, movement, like a lot of airflow. But I guess with the plants, some of the furniture that the designer will order, that's kind of set in stone, I guess you could say, that we're constrained to those containers that are inside the furniture. But basically, we would be the ones who specify what container will work best on the size of plant that they want. So usually they'll say, "Oh yeah, we want a 5 to 6 foot tall tree here." And then I know that that has a 14 inch root ball, which then you require a 16 inch container. So, you know, a lot of it is a bit of give and take. And sometimes the designers also will procure their own containers, and then we have to try and retrofit the root ball to fit into their container, and sometimes it's a bit of a challenge.
Well, speaking of challenge, what are some of the other obstacles or challenges that you face with interior plantscaping? What might other people not realize is a complication of your job?
Well, one of the big complications, especially when designers or a client has existing containers, is we cannot have those containers leak. And a lot of the cheaper, like big ceramic pots, they have a drainage hole in them that, you know, you just can't water a plant and have a hole in the bottom in the indoor environment, because that water is just going to pour through. And, you know, then you have risk of mold growing under the container, like if it's on carpet, or even slip and falls if there's a puddle that happens on a hardwood floor. So anyway, our containers are completely watertight. So that's one of the big challenges. Some of the other ones are pests. You know, a lot of the plants will get spider mite, mealybug, scale, fungus gnats, and all of those, we're able to deal with them and make sure that everything is clean. We can't spray anything because it's indoor, like we're not allowed to use pesticides or anything. So most of the treatment for pests is just physically wiping them off the leaf. Sometimes we can spray with like soapy water, like literally a drop of dish soap in our sprayer, and, you know, just clean the leaf off. That's the best way that we can control insects. I do use some IPM, integrated pest management, if it's a larger atrium area or kind of a solarium area, then we can release some biological insects that are tiny, minute, you know, they're as small as the plant bugs. And so, you know, the regular person wouldn't even know that there's a bug there at all. So sometimes we can use that.
How about with COVID? Did that create any changes in how you had to operate within these buildings when there were lockdowns and the move to hybrid work environments?
Yeah, that was a complete nightmare. Getting into the offices was a huge challenge. As you know, and all the world knows, is that we were locked out for at least 4 weeks there. And so before the lockouts began, it was all hands on deck. I told my staff, just flood everything. We need them to get through these next 2 to 3 weeks. And so we did that. And luckily, Landscape Ontario was a huge benefit in that, with rallying the government to try and get landscapers as essential. But not only that, I also had a couple of essential clients that said, you guys need to get here because you're part of our operations and we need you to continue on looking after these plants. And a couple of those clients were the hospitals. And they basically said, get back over here. So, you know, I got that in writing and we were able to at least be able to start doing our work again. Then, of course, the next challenge was actually gaining access into the offices. And so many clients were really great. Most of them had security, and the ones that didn't, you know, would meet us to let us in or gave us fobs. You know, we have a lot of trust with our clients, and they did allow us to get access again.
And has that resolved since everyone's back in the workplace? Or for those that have that hybrid model, is that a challenge or has that helped?
That's a challenge. So Monday and Fridays are skeleton staff. So I think that's pretty typical. And Wednesdays seems to be the day that all the meetings occur. So getting into meeting rooms and boardrooms has become a challenge. And when that happens, you know, first we'll try to get into meeting rooms that we know are always busy, especially if there's obviously plants in there. And if we can't get in, then we'll do our entire other work that's at that office, check in again. And if we still can't get into water, we sometimes ask the receptionist if she can throw some water on there. Otherwise, sometimes depending on if that plant requires more water, then we'll make a special trip back.
And I suppose with the knowledge that you have of interior plants, you might look at something where you've traditionally had trouble getting into a space and think, well, maybe we'll swap this out for something that is a little more drought tolerant and move it around so that the plant isn't quite so dependent on that regular access.
Yeah, that's right. And we also utilize a container from Germany. It's called Lechuza Containers. And they actually have a water reservoir in the bottom. So then what we can do is fill the reservoir, and that will extend the amount of time that's needed in between the watering schedule.
Since you're a year-round business, you know, a traditional landscaper, they may stop maintaining around this time of year, you know, October, November, maybe pushing it, but you go year round. What does that mean for changes in how you care for the plants and for the plants that are in different vulnerable locations within an interior site?
So yes, we're year round in the indoor environment. You think it doesn't change much, but it really does. So as soon as fall comes and the temperatures outside start to go down, the heaters come on in the buildings, and that just dries the plants out so quickly. It's pretty shocking sometimes. And so then the air in the office starts to get really dry as well. Obviously in the winter, it gets very dry. February is bad for that, but at least then it's lower light as well. So then it starts to balance off a little bit. And then in the spring, when the air conditioners come on, then it's the whole opposite. We get cold breezes and, you know, the plants don't dry out as quickly, although then the sunshine is longer days. So, you know, that again starts to work itself out.
In a lot of buildings, the atrium or that entrance has a grand display. Maybe there's a living wall or larger arrangements, or, you know, those really impressive big potted tropicals. When they're so close to an entrance, What sorts of issues might a plant experience in that case?
Oh, and in the winter, it's terrible, especially some of these big, like entrances to big buildings and lobbies, that handicap door, you know, you press the button, and now I believe it's been regulated that it's got to stay open for like 10 seconds or 15. I can't remember what it is. It might even be 30 seconds. So it's a long time to have that door open and have the freezing cold air just pour in. I have had plants freeze solid. Well, maybe not quite solid, but they definitely turned like black from the freezing cold air coming and hitting them. And it does not take long. The tropical plants are as perishable as like a head of lettuce. You know, if you freeze that and then you thaw it, it just goes to mush.
Is that on you to replace, or does the client cover the cost of replacing those plants?
Well, typically it would be the client, if we're told that that plant needs to stay there. Otherwise, we would kind of notice that, oh man, you know, it's starting to get some cold damage. You see that kind of in the fall. And then we try to move it to another area that it won't get that initial blast of cold air going by it.
Oh my goodness, that's so much to consider. A few minutes ago, you mentioned the term biophilia, which is a design trend that incorporates more organic plant material, natural textures, things like that. Let's dive into that a bit more and why it would be a benefit to incorporate biophilia into an interior design.
Well, first of all, biophilia, that literally translates into love of life. So it's the innate, biologically driven need to interact with other forms of life, such as animals and plants. So the mission of STEMS, my company, is to connect people to nature with lush, thriving tropical plants. And it's really important because we need to be connected to nature. I mean, that's what biophilia is all about, is connecting with nature. But the problem is that we spend 80 to 90% of our time inside. So how do you connect to nature? You know, especially, you know, we're Canadians. We love nature. We love going outside and experiencing it, canoe trips and hiking and everything. But how often can you do that? You know, we have winter here. So that's why I figured that it's best to connect with nature where we spend our time. And that's by bringing plants indoors.
And if you were trying to convince a potential client to do this, are there studies out there that demonstrate the value of, I don't know, maybe perhaps improving mood and wellness and other important elements like that?
There's all kinds of resources out there. So there's a really good website, Green Plants for Green Buildings. So GPGB. We can put the link in your show notes if you want.
You bet.
They have tons of information and resources and reports. So that's a great wealth of information there. There's also TPIE, and that stands for Tropical Plant International Expo. So that's a trade show down in Florida, Fort Lauderdale, in January. So, you know, not a terrible place to be in the middle of winter. Another resource is I'm a member of NIN, so that's the National Interiorscape Network, and we meet twice a year to dive into our numbers. We do benchmarking and then share best practices. So a lot of these resources are really great to keep us up to date and in the loop as to what's going on.
Have you faced the same challenges as a lot of other landscaping and horticulture companies with staffing?
I don't think I have, mainly because I believe I've become a better leader. I did have a little bit of turnover a few years ago. I think a lot of that had to do with COVID, though. But right now, I've had some great, really loyal employees who love their job. And a couple of them came through the GROW program through Landscape Ontario. So you know that they have interest in horticulture already. And yeah, they were just a really great addition to our team.
That's always great to hear that something from Landscape Ontario has been a benefit. Are there other ways where being a member of Landscape Ontario has helped your business?
Yeah, so we've been a member for many years. We used to be active in the interior scape sector. There was a commodity group at Landscape Ontario, but that's kind of wound down before COVID. But I love attending the peer-to-peer workshops and a lot of the other business-related seminars that Landscape Ontario puts on. I did the Employer of Choice program last year, and now this year I'm in the Intent-Based Leadership program. And so, yeah, there's so many benefits through Landscape Ontario.
What do you think are some of the most important skills needed for somebody who wants to run a business focused on interior plantscaping?
Well, the first thing you need to have is passion for plants. Then I guess the second thing is you need to love people, because it's not like an outdoor landscape job that you're outside, not even seeing the homeowner or the business owners. We're inside their office, inside their buildings, and you know, we need to be approachable and yet also very quiet and get our work done without too much chit-chat. We like to be efficient.
Thinking of the kinds of people who might be on your team who go into these interior places, like you said, they need to be quiet and yet approachable. So is this a good job for an introvert or somebody who is new to Canada and maybe still developing their English language skills?
I would say everyone, extrovert, introvert. I'm personally an introvert, so I do like just, you know, doing my thing and looking after the plants. But extroverts also love the job because they get to see lots of people all day long. You know, we're going from office to office. And so, yeah, I think language might be a bit of a barrier, just because there is so much communication with the clients, but it's certainly not a problem either.
Sounds like there's room for everyone to explore this career path. Now, speaking of opportunities, where else can this kind of business go? Like, are there different verticals or areas that still have room for growth, or have you reached the point where this is pretty settled and all you can do?
Well, good question. I think there's always opportunities. Well, right now we're getting into a lot of the living walls, moss walls. We do what's called our live art program. So we bring in like potted, blooming, I guess, dish garden type of things on a rotational basis. So that's usually done in the reception areas so that they always have a fresh look. We also do bloomer rotations, which we put in bromeliads or orchids into like big lobby areas. So there's always room for growth. I mean, especially with this biophilic design now, designers are putting in all kinds of beautiful natural decor, and it's just so exciting to see what they come up with as well and how we can help them.
Do you have any favorite plants that you like to bring in and that always just seem to be a real hit in your landscapes?
Well, I personally really like the Mingarelia because it's got such feathery foliage. However, it's a bit more finicky than the other plants in the Aurelia family. But there are some other ones too that, like I guess the thing is with the Mingarelia is when it starts to dry out a little bit, it kind of puts off a scent. And so it's kind of neat in that way. But also there's other plants that kind of smell and bring in that scent into the indoor space as well. I think we were talking about before that the Hoyas, you had a Hoya, and when they bloom, the scent just fills the room. So it's actually a nocturnal type of plant. Like it will put the scent out at night because in the wild, it's the moths that pollinate the flowers. So that's kind of interesting. But also when we're topping up plant, like the soil in the plants, or we're repotting a plant in the office, people always comment on, oh, wow, it smells wonderful in here. It smells like spring, you know, or like we're walking in the woods. And so anyways, really kind of interesting when you bring natural scents into the office place.
You mentioned walking in the woods, and I know that you have some experience with that at a really deep level. Tell me a little bit more about your experience with forest bathing.
Yeah, so I just came back from Japan that I did a forest bathing tour. And so that was done through ANFT, which they are an association that has the accreditation to be a guide in that. So anyway, the Japanese have called it Shinrin Yoku. And so Shinrin Yoku is a direct translation to forest bathing. So this is not, you know, stripping naked and running through the woods. It's more a very slow meditative walk. You're using all your five senses. It's very mindful. And I guess in Japan, they've been actually prescribing Shinrin Yoku for years for very stressed out, mostly businessmen in Japan who need to like disconnect from computers and cell phones and all that stuff and really connect with nature.
For those who
can't make it out to a forest bathing session or find themselves in a good deep wilderness area, it sounds like being able to have a plantscape and having those living walls and potted plants on your desk and things like that might be a closer way of getting back to nature, even when you are stuck at your desk.
There's so many benefits to indoor plants, and just looking at a view of nature or, you know, the plants on your desk, they improve your mood. Plants make people happy. And so they can also reduce the stress. They filter pollutants out of the air. So, you know, plants inhale carbon dioxide and release oxygen. So that's great for the indoors as well. They really create this natural feel. It creates a feel-good environment. And with that, especially in the offices, the plants have been shown to increase productivity and creativity while reducing stress. So it's kind of a win-win.
There's no good reason not to have plants.
Exactly. And you know what? There's also a great infographic on the Niche website. So I can give you that link as well. But it goes into all kinds of benefits of plants, both indoors and outdoors.
Well, you've sold me. I mean, I plan to run out and buy more plants right now. I want to step back just for a minute and talk about when you started your business and how you've grown it over the past number of years. So how long have you had Stems, and what did it look like in the beginning compared to now?
Well, I started Stems in 1997, so a long, long time ago. And it was just me, you know. I hung my shingle out there and started to grow it. And because I had already had some sales experience, that's what I did. I started pounding the pavement, throwing out brochures and business cards, as well as doing a lot of cold calling, trying to drum up business. And I did, you know, but back then I had all the hats on. So I was doing everything, as I'm sure a lot of landscapers starting out do, is that they run out, find the work, procure all the items needed to do the work. You do the work, and then, you know, you got to do it all over again. And for me, got the work, did the work, and then maintained the work. You know, so I was the one looking after the plants as well as trying to get new installations. So it was a lot, you know. And then I've grown this business slowly and steadily, and for it probably a good decade, because I had three children in that time, as well as earned my MBA.
And when did you decide to take on staff for the first time?
Well, I was 6 months pregnant with my first child, and I literally couldn't fit behind the reception counter to water the plant that was behind there. So at that point, I was thinking, oh no, I'm going to have to hire someone now. And so that's what I did. And it did not work out as well as planned. She did stick around for a while, but the plants took a little bit of a toll. But I have such wonderful clients that knew my situation. I'm just so grateful that I had so many great clients.
And how many staff do you have now?
Well, we have a total of 9 plus me, so 10 staff.
And are they all doing installations and maintenance?
No, I have admin staff as well. A lot of my staff wear many hats as well. So we'll be doing maintenance, installations, some admin work, and, you know, we all kind of share the burdens.
It sounds very holistic. Do you have plans to continue growing, or is this a good, comfortable size for you?
No, that's kind of my motto, is always growing.
That makes sense, given what we do, yeah.
Yeah, we're always looking for new clients, new places that we can install our plants.
With the future in mind, but also looking back to those early days, what would you tell 20-year-old Hella?
I think I would tell myself to get help sooner. Although putting myself back in that situation, I would probably do it exactly the same. Just because when you're just starting out your business, if you hire someone, then you have to give them some of the pay that you would normally be taking home. So at that time, I wasn't really making enough money that I thought I could justify hiring someone. And, you know, I've read a lot of these leadership books and business books, and they say, well, if you start delegating some of your work, then you can level up. Well, I didn't have enough work to level up. I was still wearing all the hats and doing everything. But I think it's because when you're pregnant, life throws it onto you, like the timeline. It's not your timeline anymore. So that's the difference. If it was on my timeline, then I would have been able to build the business up to a level and then hired someone. But the timing was wrong. But, you know, that's okay. There's no regrets. It's all good.
It's interesting that you say on your timeline, because a lot of people might think that they have to wait for the perfect timing. And that perfect timing never seems to be right now. It's something ethereal in the future that you can't quite ever get to. And so a lot of people are held back by that.
Yeah. I could totally see that. I didn't want to be held back. Yeah, I've heard that as well, that some people will hold off having children until they have enough money, or they have the house, or they have, you know, whatever they goal they've set in their head. But a lot of it is a moving target. So it never quite comes to fruition, and then time is gone. You know, and you missed your opportunity. So I think, like things like having children, I think you just got to jump in and figure it out afterward. And of course, everything does work. You know, everything works out, and you just got to make it happen.
Well, I think those are very wise words to end on. So for all of our listeners out there, if you are tempted to start a new idea and you think that the timing isn't right, maybe it's never going to be right. So this is the exact moment to go ahead and get started. Hella, thank you so much for coming in and giving us some of your business acumen and that look behind the curtain of what happens with interior plantscaping. I certainly learned a lot, and I think our listeners will have a new appreciation for all those beautiful plants, those tropicals that are thriving and growing and making all those interior spaces that we enjoy that much better. So again, thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, and it was just such a thrill.
As we wrap up today's conversation with Hella Keppo, I hope you've gained a new appreciation for the care, creativity, and expertise it takes to be an interior plantscape professional. I had no idea there were so many seasonal challenges that can still affect indoor plants. The knowledge needed by Hella and her maintenance technicians cannot be understated, but it sounds like it could be a really fun and rewarding job to foster an interior workplace environment that offers so many benefits to the people in that space. Relevant links and a transcription of today's conversation can be found on this episode's page at landscapeontario.com/podcast. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode. Whether you have feedback, suggestions for future topics, or ideas for guests, send me an email at podcast@landscapeontario.com. Your input helps me continue to bring valuable conversations and insights to the Landscape Ontario podcast. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time, stay curious.